I'd like to invite you to turn in your Bibles to the book of Matthew chapter 26. Matthew chapter 26. You know, over the years, our tribe has been increasing. As a family, with six boys, two of them married, now children, that makes us grandparents, doesn't it? And I've noticed that the larger that our tribe increases, the more prayer warrior we're required to be. It is so critical that we be men and women of prayer. The Word of God, as we've looked at personages of the Bible, we've arrived at the life of Peter. Peter was a great man of God, a great man of faith. And yet Peter, at the same time, faced trials and testings and temptations. He needed to be a man of prayer. This evening, we're going to be looking at the pathway towards Peter's spiritual downfall. Thank the Lord, his subsequent recovery. But we're going to be looking at the life of Peter. You know, I'd like to give you a few quotations on the subject of prayer. And naturally, as we prepare to go to prayer this evening, may they challenge us to be greater men and women of prayer. Think of those around you. If you're a mom or a dad, there are a lot of people depending on you to be a man or a woman of prayer. Martin Luther made this statement. I know that some attribute it to Archbishop Trent. And, you know, it's funny how quotations have a way of getting around. I suppose when we get to heaven, we'll find out who really said what. We're sure about the scriptures. Some of these other ones are spurious, perhaps. But notice this statement. Prayer is not overcoming God's reluctance, but it's laying hold of his willingness. That ought to add some excitement to your prayer. God delights in showing us his power. Alan Redpath, the great theologian, Bible student, made this statement. Before we pray, Lord, thy kingdom come, we must be willing to pray, my kingdom go. Isn't that true? We have that old kingdom, that old self on the throne of our lives. And can we really pray, thy kingdom come, if we're not first willing to let our kingdom go? E.M. Bounds, the great author who prolifically wrote on the subject of prayer, he made this statement. Talking to men for God is a great thing, but talking to God for men is greater still. The ministry of intercessory prayer. What a ministry is ours as people of God. Do not despair that you cannot preach sermons. Do not despair that you're not before the public with great crusades of evangelism. Be a man and a woman of prayer for your family, for yourself, for your pastor, for your church, and see the blessings of God unleashed. E.M. Bounds made the following statement. The men who have done the most for God in this world have been early on their knees. He who fritters away the early morning, its opportunities, freshness, in other pursuits than seeking God, will make poor headway seeking him the rest of the day. If God is not first in our thoughts and in our efforts in the morning, he will be the last place in the remainder of the day as well. Samuel Chadwick made this statement about prayer. The one concern of the devil is to keep Christians from praying. He fears nothing from the prayerless studies, prayerless work, and prayerless religion. He laughs at our toil, mocks at our wisdom, but he trembles when we pray. Spurgeon, the great pastor, stated, I would rather teach one man to pray than 10 men to preach. That's the priority, dear people, of prayer. And we're going to take a few moments and we're going to look at five avenues that we must all watch out for in our own lives that warn us through the life of Peter. In Matthew chapter 26 and verse 33, I believe that these five areas will open for us very, very clearly. In Matthew chapter 26 and verse 33, we see Peter's sin of self-confidence. I don't believe there's a greater expression of self-confidence than prayerlessness. When we think we can do God's work or have God's blessing, or when we think that we can raise our families in our own wisdom and we do not rely upon the Lord in prayer, that's the epitome of self-confidence. Notice Matthew 26 and verse 33. Jesus makes the statement, and I believe we could catch it on verse 31 and read all the way through. Jesus comes unto them, "All ye shall be offended because of me this night. For it is written, I will smite the shepherd, and the sheep of the flock shall be scattered abroad. After I am risen again, I will go before you into Galilee." Clear statements where Jesus began to instruct his people about his death, burial, and resurrection. But notice, Peter answered and said, notice the self-confidence, "Though all men should be offended because of thee, yet I will never be offended." Jesus said unto him, "Verily, verily, I say unto thee, that this night before the cock crow, thou shalt deny me thrice." Peter was sincere, but he forgot the principle that is stated over and over again in the Word of God, "Let him that thinks he stand take heed, lest he fall." He was guilty of the sin of self-confidence. He did not know himself, and he placed himself in a position of over self-confidence. Then I want you to notice in Matthew chapter 26, the second pitfall that we face in the Christian life. Not only being self-confident that we can expose ourselves and place ourselves in all types of situations and say, "I shall not fall," but notice, number two, he was careless about the matter of praying. In verse 36, then comes Jesus with them to a place called Gethsemane. And he says unto the disciples, "Sit ye here while I go and pray yonder." And he took with him Peter, the two sons of Zebedee, and began to be sorrowful and very heavy. Jesus, in his humanity, was going through sorrow, and yes, he was under pressure. He was under stress at this point, because he was preparing to accept the cup of suffering that would be placed upon him. Then saith he unto them, "My soul is exceeding sorrowful, even unto death. Tarry ye here and watch with me." And he went a little further and fell on his face and prayed, saying, "O my Father, if it be possible, let this cup pass from me. Nevertheless, not as I will, but as thou wilt." And he cometh unto the disciples and finds them asleep. And notice, he says unto Peter, seems to point him out especially, "What, could ye not watch with me 1 hour?" And he makes the statement, "Watch and pray that ye enter not into temptation. The spirit indeed is willing, but the flesh is weak." That is the key. He was careless about the matter of prayer. And because he was not on his toes in his prayer relationship, the stage was being set for his betrayal. Notice in Matthew chapter 16 and verse 21, the third key in Peter's pathway towards spiritual downfall, not only the sin of self-confidence, number two, careless about the matter of prayer, but in Matthew 16 and verse 21, He disregarded the Word of God. Do you disregard the Word of God? Do I disregard the Word of God? Notice in Matthew 16:21, Jesus from that time forth began to show unto His disciples how that He must go to Jerusalem, suffer many things of the elders, the chief priests, the scribes, and be killed and raised again. What day? The third day. He was very specific. And yet, at the same time, in spite of the word of the Lord, Peter disregarded the word of the Lord. And in verse 21 and verse 22, his response, Peter took him, began to rebuke him, saying, "Be it far from thee, Lord, this shall not be unto thee." Sometimes we can fail to respond, and we can disregard the word of the Lord and minimize the teachings of God's word. We may know the answers. You can be raised in a Christian home. You might go to Christian school for 12 years, go to 4 years Christian college, and you can know all of the answers. You might have gone through Awana and won your Timothy Award. You might have gone through all types of Bible quizzing, memorized Scripture, and yet are you using it in the day of adversity? Or are we disregarding the Word of the Lord? Then turn, fourthly, to another step in Peter's spiritual downfall. He was self-confident, careless about the matter of prayer. He, thirdly, disregarded God's Word. But fourthly, he followed Jesus afar off. Oh, I've got Jesus in my heart. That's good enough. I've got hell insurance. I know I'm going to heaven. I accepted Jesus Christ such and such a day and forsook my nets one time. But look at Luke 22. Luke chapter 22. He was not staying close in identification with the Lord. Luke 22 and verse 54. Then they took him, they took Jesus, led him and brought him unto the high priest's house. And notice now, Peter followed afar off. Is that true in your life? Was there a time when you once walked with God? Was there a time when you sought Him in the morning? Was there a time when you prayed and you saw fruit in your life and desired to share Christ with others? Was there a time when you once prayed with your wife? Was there a time where you once prayed with your husband and sought to gather together as a family and pray together? But now it seems that everybody's too busy. Everybody's running around trying to make ends meet. Too busy to do this, and we've forgotten and forsaken how important it is to make Jesus Christ the focal point of our lives. Like the hub on a tire, all of the spokes need to point to Jesus as the center. He followed afar off. That leads us to point number 5, following right in verse 54 and 55 of the same chapter. Peter was guilty of self-confidence, careless about the matter of prayer, disregarded the word of the Lord. He followed afar off. But then, number 5, he found his companionship with the Lord's enemies. He found his companionship with the Lord's enemies. Look at verse 54. It says, Peter followed afar off. But notice what results. And when they had kindled a fire in the midst of the hall and were set down together, Peter sat down among them. All of the enemies of God that were there attacking and accusing Jesus, Peter sits in the middle of the enemies of the Lord. And notice, a certain maid beheld him as he sat by the fire and earnestly looked upon him and said, "This man was also with him. I saw him with Jesus." And here Peter denied him, saying, Woman, I know him not. You see, Peter found his association among the enemies of God. What about your closest friends? What about those that you seem to hang with? Are they pulling you down? Worse yet, are you pulling them down? Sometimes it's not a matter of hanging around with the wrong crowd. Sometimes Christians can be the wrong crowd. That would be even worse, wouldn't it? And yet, here, that downward spiritual decline where he began what we call compatibility of rebellion, finding an association, you see, among the Lord's enemies. And of course, the fulfillment of the words of the Lord. After a while, verse 58, and others saw him and said, Thou art also of them. And Peter said, Man, I'm not. About the space of 1 hour after another, confidently affirmed, saying, Of a truth, this fellow also was with him, for he is a Galilean. His speech betrayed him. And Peter said, Man, I know not what thou sayest. And immediately while he spake, the cock crew. And look at the powerful verse 61. The Lord turned and looked upon Peter. And it has the idea of a long, steady gaze in which their eyes lock. And all of a sudden, the tremendous floodgate of guilt and shame and remembrance of what Jesus had prophesied earlier. It says, Peter remembered the word of the Lord. You know, I, by faith, have implanted, Melody, by faith, has implanted God's word in the heart of our children. And I trust that you've sought to do the same thing. And you know, there are some that may be listening to my voice on radio or sermonaudio.com, and you have been brought up in the ways of God. You know the truth. But you know what? No matter how far you run, you can't run from yourself and you can't run from God. Everywhere you lay down your head, you wake up with yourself, no matter who's with you. And you know what? You're going to remember the word of the Lord. Peter remembered the word of the Lord. God's word kept on coming back until he was willing to surrender his life. And you know, I'm glad to be able to preach next week's sermon about Peter's restoration and the things that God used to bring Peter back. Peter was a great man. He was chosen by God to be one of the apostles, opening up the Word of God to masses of people that would come into the body of Christ. He was one upon whose testimony the church was founded upon the truths and the affirmations of Christ as the Son of the living God. And yet, he had fallen and let his Lord down. And all of us can as well. Let's not allow these five concessions to erode our spiritual vitality. Here in the state of Florida, we're concerned about coastal erosion, aren't we? And all of the storms that come by, how thousands and thousands of tons of sand have eroded away to the point where million-dollar homes are precariously drifting towards the ocean and in danger of collapse. And all of a sudden, great can be the collapse when a house is built on the sand and not the rock, the Lord Jesus Christ. May we be men and women of prayer. All of you, every one of you have children and grandchildren, and every one of you carry great burdens on your heart. Not only your own, but many of you suffer the weights of your children and your grandchildren more than your own. Oh, may we commit ourselves tonight to be men and women of prayer. And I believe you are, for you're here to greatly intercede on the behalf of God's people. So let's go to the Lord in prayer. Consecrate ourselves to be men and women, to begin our day and to practice the presence of the Lord in our lives. Let's pray. Father, we thank you for your word. Thank you, Father, for these brief reminders before we go to prayer on the priority, the privilege of prayer, and Lord, the warnings that you give to us when we so easily can go off through habit, through practice, going through motions and failing to see the necessity of the oil of the Spirit of God. Lord, prayer is like the oil that lubricates an engine. And Lord, a church that fails to pray is a church that will be filled with friction. A home that fails to pray will be as an engine running without oil that'll just seize up and melt and cease operating. May that not be true in our lives, but may we go on and be a blessing for you, to ourselves, Lord, and to others. We pray this in Jesus' name. Amen.